Hi, everybody. This is Pastor Chuck Allen, and I want to welcome you to another Sugar Hill Church weekday podcast. Before we jump into today's podcast, I want to invite you to join me on Thursday morning. This is specifically for guys, especially guys who have been a part of Man Church here at Sugar Hill Church, but it really is for anybody. Each Thursday over the next few weeks, we're going to introduce one word to you. It's less than a five-minute video that takes one word out of the scriptures and gives you a picture of the context and how that word is used in the day it was written and also today in your own life. So look for that on the Sugar Hill Church app coming every Thursday morning. But today, let's talk about a story that we all know about, David and Goliath. More often than not, the story is told in the sense of this is what happens when an underdog beats the big guy. And I recall 2 years ago when Clemson was playing against Alabama for the national title again. And I'd seen all through the season where Dabo Swinney, the coach of Clemson University, he was often being asked and questioned about what it's like to be an underdog. What is it like to play the underdog role? And you could almost tell he snapped before the national championship game, and I'll never forget it. He looked in the camera when one of those younger reporters on the sidelines asked him one more time right before the game, Coach, how do you feel about going in as such an underdog? And he looked right in the camera, and I'll never forget it, in that country slang that only Coach Sweeney could have, he looked in the camera and said, "We ain't no dang underdog." And that struck me. I thought, you know what? They didn't play like they were an underdog. They didn't believe they were an underdog. And the fact is, I don't think David thought he was either. Now, we all know the story. David, he's at home tending the flocks, and dad calls and sends David with food and materials to send to the other sons, the brothers of David, who are theoretically at the time fighting the war against the mean, nasty Philistines. But the fact is, they weren't. They were up in their tent looking across the valley of Elah, and they saw this huge 9.5-foot giant we now know as Goliath, and they weren't fighting at all. They were shaking in their boots. And so when David shows up, what does he do? Well, I'll go take care of him. If nobody else is willing to do it, I'll do it. So, of course, the king tries to put his armor on him and gets him to hold his sword and wear the helmet. And the fact is, he just crumpled underneath that. He was a young boy. He was a ruddy little kid. But there he was, and he became one of the greatest leaders the world has known. Because, you see, oftentimes it's not the story of the underdog beating the giant, frankly. I think we see that happen often. What we really don't see occasionally is what happened in the story of David and Goliath that might be true about you and I this week, right now. Let's face it, you've made it to Wednesday. You're at hump day. And how could you get a leadership boost that would give you an opportunity to get past the story you learned as a kid in Sunday school? Well, let's start with one big aha. I got this from Malcolm Gladwell, who wrote this in a book, and I remember when I read it, I highlighted it, I read it again, I highlighted it again, I dropped it in my Evernote, and it was this one thought that Goliath couldn't see. Now, I'm not saying he was blind. What I am saying is that Goliath is a giant, a mighty, huge man. I mean, this is a 9-foot dude in a time in which, as a Philistine warrior, that was huge by modern standards. It was colossal based on their standards at the time. And the condition that he faced was that he was so big, he was above all things so much that he couldn't see. Lo and behold, in the Bible story, Gladwell points out this thought that Goliath has to call out to David in order to fight him. He says, "Come to me that I might feed your flesh to the birds of the heavens and the beasts of the field." How come why did he do that? Well, perhaps because he couldn't see him. You see, folks that believe that they are bigger than anything, that can see over everything, can have perceived advantages that will mask their even bigger disadvantages. You see, David had a great advantage because Goliath couldn't see. He was in a position where he thought he was overwhelming. But you know what else Goliath was? He was powerless. I mean, why are David and Goliath fighting to begin with? Because the Philistines have proposed to send their toughest, biggest, baddest warrior against the Israelites, toughest, biggest, baddest warrior, to settle a dispute with a single combat. And seriously, this is crazy. Listen to what Malcolm Gladwell said in his TED Talk, and I'm going to quote this. The Philistine who has sent down their mighty warrior is a giant. He's outfitted head to toe in his glittering bronze armor, and he's got a sword, and he's got a javelin, and he's got a spear. He is absolutely terrifying. He's so terrifying that none of the Israelite soldiers want to fight him. It's a death wish, right? There's no way they think they can take him. But on the other hand, now that we've left that quote, David is just a shepherd boy, and he's the only person willing to fight Goliath. He also refuses to wear armor. But why? Because David is also apparently the only person in the story who realizes that heavy armor weighs a warrior down. Goliath could just easily kill David with his sword, but only if David were foolish enough to walk right up to Goliath. Of course, that's the last thing David plans to do. Goliath is powerless because David didn't let him have the power. And then the third thing, David is deadly. I mean, this guy's on it. The final misconception about this story is that David goes into the battle with only a sling and five stones. You know, when we hear that with modern ears, we might think, oh, that's a child's toy, a slingshot. But that's not what David has at all. Instead, he's carrying a sling, which is a simple but highly effective weapon. Armies used it in battle at the time, and shepherds like David used it to protect their flocks from wild animals. In fact, that's exactly what David does. He walks right up to Goliath as a wild animal while still far enough away that Goliath's swords and javelin are useless, and he kills Goliath with a single shot to the head. It's like when Indiana Jones shoots the intimidating Arab swordsman in Raiders of the Lost Ark. Yay! Take a look at the story again. The lesson isn't simply that when a powerful competitor takes on a smaller one, the smaller one might nevertheless win. Instead, great leaders understand the real keys to battle are sometimes obscured by our misconceptions. Perceiving them correctly can amount to Goliath-sized advantages. What are those three things again? Let's remember. Goliath couldn't see over his enormity. Goliath was powerless to reach toward David. And David was deadly. He wasn't no dang underdog. He stepped in and he won the thing. Here's what I would ask you today. Have you prepared yourself as a leader to win today? The one thing that David did above all things was he claimed that he was doing this in the name of God the Father. He claimed that the God of all creation was what he was fighting for. He wasn't fighting for some silly win. He wasn't fighting for a notch in a belt. He wasn't fighting for a plaque in the foyer. He was fighting for God himself, and God honored that. In your leadership today, ask yourself, can I not see? Am I powerless? Or do I want to be deadly on point as David was? Well, go in peace, my friend. I hope to see you this Sunday at Sugar Hill Church at 9:30 or 11. And please don't forget, this Thursday morning, we'll have that video rolling out on the app called Words. Take care. Bye now.